Should I have? Thank you, thank you.
Is this game 3 of the season? Matthew's really almost at 50 by now.
Welcome back to the Leafs Cast, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that we'll have no shortage of Austin Matthews goal sound clips to pick from this season.
Oh, settle down. But that guy needs to pick it up, honestly. He barely had a goal tonight.
Not the lack of trying, though.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to the Leafs Cast. 3 games up, 3 games down, 2 W's, 1 L, 3 guys, 1 pod.
It went exactly the way everyone thought it would. Find me the person that was predicting the Leafs win against Chicago, coming off a hot streak, going up against former Leafs Nick Foligno. It was never going to happen.
Can anyone name the goaltender of the Chicago Blackhawks tonight? First and last name.
Nope.
Wasn't his last name Vezina or something like that? No.
It was Skarsgård.
Viva Leiden.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, the Leafs do get their first L. And when we normally pod on a Sunday, we would have just been over here just raving about the Leafs with our rose-colored glasses. And now we have had at least one L to bring us back down to earth, I suppose.
Well, honestly, it's probably really good for us that we did wait an extra day and recorded after the Chicago days so that we could take off those rose-colored glasses. Because, yeah, it's not all rose-colored here in Leafland, but at the very minimum, it's been pretty exciting hockey so far.
Well, I laugh because like we're gonna get into some overreactions from early season. And if we had recorded after game 2, we would have gotten some crazy overreactions. As it is, there will likely only be slightly unreasonable.
Yeah, we got overreactions. We've got maybe talking about the lineup a little bit. Maybe it's just some general thoughts of the teams. The wagon. I don't know. That's it. The Leafs Cast is back. Let's get into it. So we've got 3 games. 3 games done. Game 1, Montreal at home. Actually, all 3 at home. Game 2, Minnesota Wild win at home. And game 3, yes, a loss that happened tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks in Toronto at the bank. Give me some thoughts, boys, about the games. What are you thinking of the team?
Austin Matthews is good. That's about the extent of my analysis.
You look at game 1 and game 2, we talk about the flaws, right? And if we had potted after Saturday night, we would have highlighted there's some issues with the team. We're not 100% perfect. But, yes, Austin Matthews has 7 goals.
What's significant to me is you go back and watch Matthews' 7 goals. These are Austin Matthews' goals. Like last year, I know we talked about it several times that he didn't look on. He was missing that quick snap wrister. Mm-hmm. And it just like never quite looked like the powerhouse Austin Matthews that scored 60 goals the year before. And I mean, you can't go wrong with 6 goals in 3 games even, but I've been impressed with his play. He's looked strong. He's looked healthy. A dominating force. I like it.
It's October Matthews. I mean, we had this pretty much every year except for what? Last year, I think, was the first year. Maybe he had a down start to the season. Or maybe it was the year before
that. It was like, what, game 17 that he got the 6 goals? So it's wild, the contrast between this year and last year already. It's only a few games in.
Yeah, and so you look at those first couple games, and yeah, like it's a different roster, especially once you get into that bottom 6. But the big guys that are supposed to score goals have, like, Austin Matthews 7, Willie's got 3, John Tavares 6 points in 3 games. I think Willie's 6 points in 3 games as well. Did Austin Matthews get an assist tonight? By the way, he didn't have one going into this game. That's what I'm saying. Guys got to step it up a little bit.
I couldn't keep track with all the goals they kept calling back and replaying over the time.
So. Yeah, the end of that game was pretty ridiculous. Geez, what else is going on with the team? I mean, so go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was gonna say like certainly we've seen that like the big boys performing. Nylander and Tavares together. Who would have thought that those guys would be so good?
Well, they've had, like, we've seen many seasons of Nylander and Tavares, and they've had spurts over that time where it's just like you look at them and you say, like, yes, this is our $11 million captain and our soon-to-be $11 million winger on a line, and it works, and it makes sense. Of course they'd be good. But then you just go through, like, months where it doesn't work, and you don't understand why it doesn't work, and that's where it's like, it's too short to call anything of why Nylander and Tavares is working right now. Anything, because we've seen it be so inconsistent for so long. Now, Nylander's been, in particular, has been playing great, and I foresee that to continue, but whether it continues with John Tavares or whether John Tavares is able to continue at the same pace he is, I don't know. There's too long of a history of up and down for that.
What have you guys thought about? So, since we last podcasted, Fraser Minton, the young gun, we have to think of a nickname for him. Mittens? Minty?
He's got to score a goal first before he gets a nickname.
He's gotten close a couple times. What have you guys thought about Mittens?
I mean, in his first game in Montreal, I'm not calling him Mittens. In his first game in Montreal, there, he looked like a rookie playing his first game, right? And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. He was a rookie playing his first game. Not everyone's going to be Connor Bedard and get, like, a point a game in the beginning of your NHL career. So he looked a little young, and he's playing on a line with Matthew Nyes, who's also pretty young out there. But I think that he's probably looked better every game since. Like, he was better in the Minnesota game, and I thought he actually probably had his best game against who was playing Chicago?
Chicago? I thought you were going to crack a joke here.
No, just escaped me. But he's just, you know, he's falling into, even like what we saw him be in the preseason, like he's just kind of falling into that. He's getting more comfortable. You see why he was so highly touted when you see him dancing in the offensive zone. He's a big guy. I think he looks fine. He looks like an NHLer. I don't know if he's going to get any more than the 9 games. Like, I think this has been a good little stint for him, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's done. If anything, he'd get more just out of necessity that we don't have anyone else and he's cheap. But I think he's fine. I don't know if he's been on a playoff roster, but he's been good. I haven't been disappointed by him. I don't think he's a bust.
I would say I don't think he's a bust either. Oh, geez, hang on. My lights just turned off. Listen, we're getting late here on a Tuesday night here on the Leafs cast. Anyway, okay, so Fraser Minton, I don't know. I don't know if this guy's actually got it this year to play. I know, yeah, sure, he's had his best game of the season tonight, but I look at a guy who I don't think is helping this third line. He hasn't had... I mean, so he's gone from Kalle Yarncroc, I almost called him Carl, Kalle Yarncroc and Matthew Nyes, now to Max Domi and Matthew Nyes. And when I look at Matthew Nyes, who had just like an amazing season last year, right, like came right in, he's seemed a little bit slower, and it feels like he's not getting the same chances, the same offensive zone, like consistent pressure. And I just wonder if, like, I don't know, Fraser Minton, I just really think it's unlikely at this point that he's going to stick around past the 9 games. Not that I'm disappointed. He's only 19, and, like, I don't know. He's only 19. He's got plenty of time to develop. I just don't know that, like,
well,
third line...
Well, if we said coming into the season that Fraserman's going to come in, he's going to look like a fine bottom six centerman, and he's going to play his 9 games, it'll be some good development, that'll go back to the juniors, and he might get a shot at cracking our lineup next season. You wouldn't even blink at that. Like, that makes sense. That's a pretty regular trajectory for most rookies in this league, that they'll play a little bit, go back, keep developing, and then, like, that's normal. I mean, the problem with us is that we're here now. Like, we're in win now mode, so we need these players, and we've had a real shortage of guys like this who are able to come up through our system. Like, we've had Sandin and Liljegren and Nyes, and, like, that's it. And Sandin is gone now. Robertson has one leg.
Pierre Engvall, Ryan, went through the Leafs system.
Engvall is getting paid like a...
7 years, $3 million it's by Lou in New York.
Listen, we really need guys like this, and it really helps that Nyes is be able to come up and be a roster player. But you're right, Steven. Like, Nyes hasn't been the most impressive, and I suspect that he's probably going to find his way in the top six soon, even just to get Nyes going, right? Like, get him with Tavares and Nylander and see where that goes. I don't know.
Nyes has had some good plays. Like, I mean, that line in general, like, hasn't had some dominating shifts, but, like, when Nyes pulls, like, that power move behind the net, protects the puck, it's like, this kid's got the stuff.
I guess I'd say that Nyes has probably been similar to Minton in terms of how impressed I've been with him. And I think Nye's, from what we see, what my expectations were and what we saw him of last season, I was hoping he'd be actually beyond that. And he'd just be a top six winger at this point, which maybe is a little aggressive, but he was just so good last year. And even through the playoffs was so good until he got injured there. And I don't know. I think that maybe he's the kind of player that you put him with better players and he will escalate himself. And maybe him being with Minton, neither of them are able to drive the line, and both of them rely on having it, someone else drive the line at this point of their career.
I think just talking about that, like, Nyes had spurts on the last playoffs playing with Matthews and Marner and like looked great. What I can't get a read this year on what to think about Tyler Bertuzzi. On one hand, like, Matthews been so good, Marner's been pretty good as well, like, with some of his plays, but like, I'm not sure if Bertuzzi is like the riding the coattails and it's like, oh, I guess he's on that line, I guess things are working. He hasn't wowed me, but at the same time, it's like, I guess the line is working. I don't know. What do you guys think? He's taken some penalties, but I suppose it's...
He's taken, is it five so far?
A lot.
Yeah, he's got quite a few. One thing I do notice about him that, like, makes me laugh when you put him on the ice next to just, like, some all-world hockey players, like, yeah, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner, is like, how much cooler Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner look as they're skating around and, like, so fluid. And I get it that Tyler Bertuzzi's been a good player in the NHL for a while, but it's just like he's Wreck-It Ralph just banging around his skates. Like, he's, like, seems like he's always falling down. Like, somebody wonders, like, how did this guy, like, I don't know, just keep getting chances? Because you watch him and it's like, it doesn't look pretty what's going on with him, but... I would say besides Matthew Nyes, he's probably the right guy for the spot that he's in. And it is kind of nice having somebody who's really just like beating the crap out of people in front of the net and doing that so that Mitch and Auston can cook from the outside.
Yeah, I like his work along the boards as well. Like, he seems to be pretty good at hunting it down, even like if they lose the puck, at getting it back or being aggressive in the forecheck. I've been a little disappointed with his, like, he seems to flub on the shot a lot or just, like, miss it. Or he just seems a little too slow. Like, he's not able to keep up with what Matthews and Marner are doing. So in terms of the offensive production, I think, and part of that might just be, like, he's played three games with them and they didn't even play that much in the preseason altogether. So, like, it might just be something that time will heal, and we'll see how long Sheldon Keefe sticks with it. He seems to be pretty fluent with his line combinations at times. So we'll see if time is something that helps with that. I do see, like, I know that he can do that because that's what he did in Detroit and in Boston when he went there. Like, he can do that, but I like the tools of what I see him. He's kind of like a Bunting, I guess, or even a Hyman, just like of just being aggressive on the forecheck and getting the puck. Like, that's who Matthews and Marner need to play with, right?
I don't know if he did fan on a shot tonight, but yeah, in games one and two, I would say at least five fan shots, probably four or five fanned passes. I think he even had a hard time getting his butt in place so that Matthews could rip one off of it into the net. Like, just he looks like the kind of guy that, like, maybe should be playing in San Jose and didn't pick up his skates all summer long and, like, just put them on for the first time, because I don't know that anyone's looked really sloppier than him. But yeah, I like the meanness. I like I like a lot that he, a lot of the stuff that he's doing up there. And I would hope that, even though Keith's been moving some guys around, especially on D, I hope he sticks with that a little bit longer. At least as long as we're trying out this third line thing, we stick with that a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think he, that spot is basically his to lose, just because we don't have that high end talent available on the left wing. Like, Nyes is the only other option, and I think, well, it's the trickle down effect, but I don't know if Keefe is ready to put Nyes out against top competition. From an offensive perspective, he can probably keep up, but I think Keefe would love to have, like, a third line that he could just, like, roll the lines with. If we want to keep talking about some of the new guys, that Domi's been a bit of like a coattail rider on that third line. Like, he just hasn't really stood out to me doing too much.
I'd go further than that too. I'd say in the first three games, like, if we're talking about overreactions here, Domi's been a bust. Like, what? Tell me one thing that Domi's done. Like, he's not doing anything out there. He's not generating. He is as bad defensively as advertised, which was quite bad. And he didn't do anything with Marner. Tavares and Nylander. When he was out there with them, you saw Nylander being a wizard. You saw Tavares racking up the points, and you didn't even notice Domi when he was out there. And now that he got the motion down with Minton and Nyes, and I thought he was the least effective player on that line too. And at least you see like Bertuzzi's out there making stuff happen, even though he's fallen down and flubbing shots. At least he's involved in the play. I don't even see what Domi's doing out there. Three games, I get it, but well, very unimpressed so far.
Yeah, and you move him down to a third line that, of all the lines, could use some help. Right. And so, like, yeah, not impressed at all by Domi so far. I mean, if you guys had to pick of an ice cream flavor, I guess, to describe Max Domi's tenure so far in Toronto, what would you choose?
I would say pretty vanilla, maybe a couple sprinkles, but like pretty vanilla. Him and Jimmy BC.
It's funny too, because I absorb all these Maple Leafs media like almost like a photosynthesis every morning, and I like, are people just not talking about it because A, the Leafs are winning, or B, because his dad played for the Maple Leafs? What is it? Because like, yeah, there's almost been nothing I've been more disappointed or nothing else I've been more disappointed in than this.
I mean, you know, we joke that it's overreactions, but it is only three games. And for the similar extent that, like, we're giving Bertuzzi a bit of a break because he's just playing with his new line mates for the first time, it's the same thing with Domi. It's even less so because he's played two games of one line and then already got a demotion to the third line where he's playing with a couple of rookies out there, right? Like, it's and he's jumped around quite a bit in his career himself. So I'm not hitting the panic button on Domi. We saw even in the preseason what he could be, and he looked pretty fun to, out there when he's... It looks pretty fun in the offensive zone anyway. And I think that he'll have his time. We'll enjoy seeing Domi doing his thing. It just hasn't come yet.
You know who loves Max Domi, though? This is to my point earlier.
Ty Domi?
No, Barb Douglas. She's like, is that the son of Ty Domi playing for the Maple Leafs? Maybe there was a little bit of concern, you know, from MLSE, like, hey, we've lost in the playoffs again. We're going to have a tough time keeping the butts in the seats. Let's go ahead and just roll out a fan favorite. I think
sell
that's what's
some
going
jerseys.
On. Yeah, sell some jerseys. I don't know. I know we're not totally into the overreactions part, and I know it is only three games, but like, I've watched every one of them. I almost can't think of one thing he's done.
Yeah,
I guess he laid a hit.
I mean, if we want to talk in general, we haven't talked about Ryan Reeves yet, but I find like the Leafs through three games, I've been impressed with how physical they've been. Like I know that some of the changes that they brought in, like Reeves is supposed to like. Well, we can talk about Ryan Reeves specifically later, but like, I've been impressed with how physical that the Leafs have been. Like, it looks like they've made a concerted effort to try and change how they play, and whether that's inspired by a fourth line scrub or not, but it's been noticeable. Have you guys noticed that?
No? Three games, three fights, and I want to say we had a fight in. What, like the first 5 minutes of game one even? Now, Revo didn't fight tonight, but it's a total shift change for the team. And I think of it like, because you see guys who maybe you didn't expect to even be doing that, laying some hits. Like I saw Marner throwing some hits tonight. I saw Matthews throwing some hits tonight. I kind of feel like when you've got these guys like Revo out there destroying everything they see, like, if he's a 10 out of 10, everybody else on the team's like, well, I at least got to be a 3 out of 10, right? I got to hit something tonight. And yeah, just that there's that trickle down effect. So far, the negative of that I don't look forward to is the kind of thing where like maybe the Leafs are playing a game that doesn't need to be violent. And then it just becomes violent because the Leafs are this way right now. And then we start getting just guys who are a little bit more banged up and stuff like that part of it. I'm not excited for, but it's been good TV.
Well, we've witnessed in just the first two games of the season what Austin Matthews can be when he's healthy. And I remember at the end of last season, we kept saying all season long, like, surely he'll turn the corner. Surely he'll be, you know, 60-goal Hart Trophy Austin Matthews again. And it just never happened. Eventually, it's just like, shoot, is this just like what Matthews is now? Like, is he just slow and injured and like can't shoot anymore and he's going to get 40 goals and he's just like a good NHL player? And this, it would just took two games. It's like, no, he's the greatest NHL player. He's so good. Yeah. He scores back-to-back hat tricks. So it's like, I look at it and I say, like, I'm not impressed with it. I don't want the Leafs to play this style of game because we have, like, our whole team is built around four players. And if any of those guys get injured, then we're screwed. And maybe, yeah, like, you could look at Ryan Reeves as being a nuclear deterrent to say that, okay, guys aren't going to be suplexing us anymore because we have Ryan Reeves with us. But, like, I look at that and say Ryan Reeves probably isn't playing for us in the playoffs, and that's why we care about this stuff. So I would say that I've been impressed with it. I have noticed that you're right, Tim, like, and I think that that's a very intentional thing. We brought in Bertuzzi and Domi and Reeves and, like, all these players and shipped out guys who, like, Engvall, who, like, he's like a giraffe, you know, like, he's not going to hurt anyone out there. So, like, it was a very intentional shift by Brad Shilling to do that, and I think it's working, but I wouldn't say that I like it.
I was not impressed with, like, some of the cross checks Tavares has taken in front of the net
tonight.
It was like, that's what bruised Matthews' ribs or whatever it was.
I thought that exact same thing. He took a brutal one. I mean, he was basically playing in front of the net the last, like, 4 minutes of the game. He took a brutal one right at the end, and I was like, that can't be okay. As a man who's recently suffered a lower back injury, this cannot be all right for his spine health. I don't know, but that
the
was
NHL
happening before
we
was
joke
when there.
It comes to protecting their stars. It's like, yeah, these guys, you're bread and butter. Like, this is what you think is okay? Like, come on. Call a penalty.
It goes both ways. Like, I hate seeing Ryan Reeves throw this monster hit. And I forget who it was that was injured in Chicago, laying behind the net. It's just like, I don't like him on my team. I don't know. I get the people who do. I get the excitement around
the fight.
That
was on Zaitsev. That wasn't even Reeves. And that wasn't even, it was Gregor, and it wasn't even really Gregor's fault.
Oh, I thought they said it was Reeves, okay. Anyway.
Zaitsev just basically, like, fell. I mean, there was a hit, but, like, Zaitsev was falling, and it's old Zaitsev, I don't know. I still think this is a good thing. I think the Leafs are going to be a better team this season for this. I feel like the testosterone surrounding this team, it feels like it's Braveheart every night. Like, just everybody is so, I don't know, juiced up and ready to, like, just Reeves getting me pumped up. I don't know. I disagree if you think it's not a good thing long term.
Listen,
it's just going to be different.
We hate the guy. He's the worst. But I saw Corey Perry out there doing Corey Perry things, and he's riling his team up, and he's pushing guys around and getting under our skins, and then he goes and scores a goal. Scored a goal! Why do we have to get the face puncher who can't score a goal? Like, there's other guys in the league. Even though it didn't work out at the end, I liked what we did in getting Wayne Simmonds, because he had offensive flair, especially on the power play, and he could do things, but he was also Mr. Face Puncher, Blue Collar, Braveheart, if you want to call him that, Steven, to get out there, and instead we just went like, oh, this bum on the fourth line who can't do anything, but he can punch a face. And he's done that very well over the first three games. And
well,
that's it.
Okay. He's got as many goals as Max Domi does so far on the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and we've been talking so highly about Max Domi.
There's lots of guys that are vanilla offense. I'm just saying that, and the Corey Perry thing, I don't know that I disagree. Like, sure, Corey Perry, I guess, maybe nice. I don't know. I hate him more than anybody else.
He
is
the worst.
All I remember hearing is that he was basically in the building, right? And he was in consideration to join the Leafs, and I don't know. I mean, it's happened a couple times now, so.
I'm not saying I want Corey Perry. I'm just saying that, like, you can get players like that who aren't exclusively that. And it seems like that's what Ryan Reeves is.
Well,
same as Domi. He's coming exactly as advertised.
Give Ryan Reeves as much space and time as Corey Perry got tonight in front of Joseph Woll to score that goal, and we'll see what happens.
All I know is that,
Ryan,
we've had
the belt.
We have the same problem that we've had every other season, where when our big guns score back-to-back hat tricks, we will win every game. And when they don't score, we get zero depth scoring because our fourth line has an anchor of Ryan Reeves on it. Our third line is like rookie line. It should probably be a fourth line. We have like two fourth lines out there who can't generate offense. So when our big boys get shut down, we just lose. And like, how are you going into the playoffs thinking, let's bet it all on exclusively our top two lines and big four talent when that's been our strategy for the past 7 years, it hasn't worked. I feel like we've done this before.
But okay, so you talk about tonight though. Leafs scored what, one goal, right? It was, no, mm-hmm. was it two?
I mean, yeah. They scored one goal. They got pretty close several times. Like this wasn't.
They got what is it, horseshoes, Tim? What are you talking about?
Like, well, I'm just saying that like
Leafs weren't dominated tonight.
If Joseph Woll has a strong game, which we haven't really gotten a strong goaltending performance yet this season, right? But like,
we could talk about that.
I'm not ready to say that like this whole thing's not gonna work and it's gonna be same old Leafs and stuff like that. It is just game three. If this third line can get going, sure. Like, but you're not wrong that this fourth line, I don't see too many goals coming out of it.
I would agree. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm ready to say it's not going to work and we're screwed. What I'm saying is I think that we're set up so that once again we will live and die on the big four. And they could do it for the same reason that all the other years they could do it. We've seen Connor McDavid and Draisaitl do it. We've seen Nathan MacKinnon do it. Like, we've seen other superstars drag their team deep into the playoffs. We just haven't seen ours do it yet, and it feels like we're just going back to the well.
Austin Matthews has bit of a history seven left. Goals in three games, how and Ryan's
he,
like,
this isn't going to work. He does not do it
this
in the playoffs.
Not
Steven,
going to
tell,
work.
Tell me the number of hat tricks that Austin Matthews has had in the playoffs. It's different. It doesn't. He's had amazing seasons in the regular season. Like, I'm not saying he's not awesome. I'm saying he hasn't done it when it counted.
So
two things. One, Austin Matthews didn't score tonight. John Tavares scored tonight, I think.
Oh,
so
did they? Okay,
goals.
I didn't know. I thought they gave it to Matthews or something.
I think it's still Tavares. Two, fun fact about hat tricks in first two games. Last 100 years, you know the only other player to do it?
I do.
It wasn't the last 100 years.
In the last 100 years, there's been one other player to do it other than Austin Matthews.
Are you talking about Ovechkin?
It's Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, you mean to start the season?
Yeah, the three. Yeah, back-to-back hat tricks to start the season.
Yes.
It was in 2017-2018. Do you know who won the Stanley Cup in 2017 and 2018?
Oh, Timothy Allison.
The sign of things to come. Anyways, we'll see. Plan the parade. One thing, Steven, I just coming back to a comment you said where, like, the guys look, like, juiced up and ready to go. Like, they're excited for the start of the season. I want to see them that excited and that into the games and that committed come playoffs. I want them to show that they have another gear when it comes to the playoffs. Like, whatever it is for the regular season can't be enough, right? Mm. You have to find the other gear.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, I hate all this talk of, oh, could Matthews get 65 or 70 on the table for Matthews? And I'm just like, I don't care. Get your 50 goals and then, like, save enough in the tank that you're going to score in the playoffs. I couldn't care less about him scoring 70 goals right now. It makes me angry listening to this talk about Austin Matthews maybe scoring 70 goals. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to score 70 goals and then lose in game 7 of round 1 or lose in game 5 of round 2. Like, it doesn't matter about getting 70 goals. No one cares that Matthews got 60. They care that they lose every year in the playoffs.
No, speak for yourself. Again, there's me laying in my front yard naked at 6 a.m. photosynthesizing in the Leafs Talk Radio. Will Austin Matthews score 70 goals this season?
Residents of Omaha, beware.
Can he? you got it. Yeah, anyway, oh my gosh. Should we get into our overreactions?
Well, here's the thing. We've spent a lot of time talking about the forwards. I don't think we mentioned the name of a defenseman yet or the goaltending.
Well, we're just talking a bunch, and I figured maybe we'd get into some of that in the overreactions. We can talk about it. Let's talk about it.
All right. Klingberg, also known as New Justin Hall. What was he thinking wearing number 3?
I know. I can't stop thinking about that. quarterback of power play 1. What do you guys think about that? Yay or nay?
I think Klingberg has been our best player of our new acquisitions this offseason so far. I mean, all of them were a risk to some extent. I know that none of us were super jazzed about the Klingberg signing, especially for how much it cost. But I was kind of expecting him to be worse defensively. He's not great defensively, but I was expecting him to be worse. And I'm pleasantly surprised with how good he moves the puck. And yeah, on power play especially, like, he looks great. And I think what I love most about that is that we get more even strength time for Morgan Riley, who's like, again, this season has looked great to start the year. So I'm a big fan of Klingberg. He's been much better than I anticipated him being.
He's been fine. I'm not sure I'd go that far. I've seen, like, I don't know, through three games, but I've seen way too many shots into shin pads of defenders that just immediately come out. Maybe that's not from him, just from him. It's more the defense all
in
general.
That's all our defense every year for our entire lives.
Yeah, I guess none of them have a goal yet to start the year, right? No defenseman does. I just think it's been fun because he's come as advertised. Like, he's doing what we expected him to do coming to the team. Like, he is bringing offense. It's just different. Like, every year that, you know, since in the Matthews era and stuff like that, right, it's like defenseman gets the puck and everybody's thinking immediately, like, all right, give it to a forward, let's go, right? But he actually does something with the puck, and I don't know. He's cooking.
He's good at moving it up the ice. Like, it seems that when he has it, the play will always just move north towards the other end, which is real nice. We don't have a lot of defensemen who are good at that.
His partners moved around, though. I couldn't really keep track of it tonight. Like, it wasn't just him and Klingberg, Geo.
Well, he started the game with McCabe, and then I think it was the third period. I'm not sure if it was moving Klingberg down and moving Liljegren up or what, but yeah, they flipped the pairings.
Yeah,
Riley Brody is the forever.
I've been kind of disappointed with Brody. Like, he took a real step back in the playoffs last year, and I think I just kind of assumed that was a blip and he'd go back to being, you know, steady TJ Brody again. But he just kind of looks like he did in the playoffs. Like, he's making some mistakes. He's not moving it too well. Like, I don't know. I think it's starting to get a little, I would scoff at people who'd be like, oh, maybe the Maple Leafs should trade Brody and free up the cap space. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like our second best defenseman and our defense sucks. Like, we need that guy. But now as I look at it, it's just like, man, I don't think he's worth $5 million to the Maple Leafs right now. So I mean, it's short, and like he might still turn it around, and maybe it takes a bit to get going. And he is playing like some really tough minutes, like probably the toughest minutes with Morgan Riley they're getting. So it could just be a combination of all those things, but not the best start for him, I don't think.
Yeah, he hasn't been that noticeable to me. Like, mistakes haven't been noticeable. He hasn't made any like fantastic plays, I'd say, but not necessarily standing out.
Same with McCabe, not the best.
Well, it's because last year McCabe stood out because he was the only one player that would like hit things, and now there's more than just
him. But and this is maybe getting a little bit over our heads and some of the listeners here, but like, even like schematically, I can't really explain it, but guys are just getting behind our defense this year so far way more than in years past. And I don't know if that's just like guys breaking out from the neutral zone, or like, I know in the offensive zone we're just getting a little closer to the net, and I guess that leaves more space for guys to get behind us, but just like, I feel like the number of breakaways that I've seen this year is a lot.
I would imagine part of that is just October hockey. Like, I think that typical for most teams, that probably is the case, and that'll get cleaned up as time goes on. But I think that the defenseman I'm most interested to see where they go this season has to be Timothy Liljegren. Like, if he's able to step up and be a top four defenseman, that's massive. I wouldn't say that I've seen that so far, but I also wouldn't say that I've seen proof that he's not that. Like, I think he's right there on the cusp, and maybe like as the season goes along and we get a little more structured, maybe he can fit into that. It'd be real nice because we sure need it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, what does it mean to be a top four defenseman? Like, is it being trustworthy? Like, he did have that one.
I think it's that.
It's
can you go against the other team's top players? That's what the top four defensemen do.
And maybe that was what the experiment, like putting him with McCabe, like have two guys that aren't as freewheeling together.
Yeah.
And like, is that going to be the difference? So, I don't know.
I mean, okay, we're over here complaining, you know, picking and choosing. Guys, Justin Hall does not play for the Maple Leafs defense anymore. I think we're all going to be fine.
That's right.
Everybody's
going to
be fine.
I still look at Edmonton's defense and say, like, man, Cody Ceci?
All right.
Still there?
Before we get into overreactions, goaltending. So, two games for Sammy Smiles. Joseph Woll gets the nod tonight. I mean, It's not good.
I mean, we let in four goals every game.
It's like the Matt Murray effect.
Well, okay, so the Samsonov game for game one, I mean, not good. I think he let in 4 goals on, what, like 20 shots or mm-hmm. No, more than that, 5 goals on 20 shots. Just not good. But this somewhat I'm gonna chalk up to October hockey. Really, this is one of my overreactions. I'm going to save it. Never mind. Are we getting into overreactions or what?
I mean, like, to be fair, Samsonov did have some pretty big saves in, like, keeping the game at 4-3. But I think the first game against Montreal, like, he made some saves that he needed to. Is letting in 5 goals good? Definitely not. Is, like, Leafs have let in a lot of goals recently. Am I concerned at this point? I'm not concerned. We still haven't invested that many dollars in the goaltending position, so you're not expected to win. Like, we have, it's like, oh, he let in a goal, now he's below average, so he's been as expected. Maybe that's not quite true. He's letting in, like, 5 goals.
It's below expected. I don't think that, like, to say, yes, we're not investing a heavy amount of our cap into goaltending, but
I mean, like, he hasn't gotten, like, terrible goals, though.
There have been a few that aren't great. But
Tim's like, he's just one of the guys on the ice. It'll be fine.
I agree with you, Tim. It's not something that I'm losing sleep over here. It's been, like, 2 games for Samsonov and 1 game for Wall, and yeah, there are some weird play. Like, I think Wall, 2 of the goals were, like, breakaway goals, which it's hard to put that on him. The defense should get tidied up. Like, we should limit those scoring chances against it. It should get better, but it's not the kind of thing that spews confidence when you're, you know, even in Minnesota, we had that 4-1 lead, and then all of a sudden it starts to seep away. And yeah, Austin Matthews goes hat trick town and gets it all back. And now we win 7-4, but like, we came awfully close to losing game one. And we came pretty close to blowing the lead and losing game two, and we lost game three. So we could have been having a very different conversation here, in large part because of our goaltending.
All right, overreactions.
All right, what do you got?
Let's do it.
I do this one every time. This is our only theme, apparently, anymore. We used to have sound drops, you know.
Well, overreaction Monday. Song. 3 games up. What things are we freaking out about a little bit? What things are we maybe overreacting or not? Each one of us has come up with 2 or 3 overreactions, or just maybe our reaction, and the other two let us know if we're overreacting or not. There we go. That's a pretty poor explanation of what an overreaction is, but we're going to get into it. I've got probably 45 of them, but we can start with somebody else.
Well, I was going to say, like, every take that you give is basically an overreaction.
I've been saying mine as we've been going here, so I'm running out. So why don't you go first, Steven?
All right. So my week one overreaction is that this currently constructed middle six combination will never work this season. So this combination of the 6 guys that, I mean, it's been the same 6 guys right in the middle 6 so far. Somebody's got to get out of here to make this work, and somebody new needs to be brought in.
Oh, here's one name that we haven't talked about. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the AHL. Nicky Robb is tearing it up. He had like 5 goals and 2 assists in like a few games. Maybe that's the solution.
I was going to say, just completely disregard Steven's reaction. And
no, he's going to go in the he's the solution for the middle 6.
Anyway, Tim's like, I'm not sure you've been tracking La Liga. the Leafs 7th round pick from 2012.
Let's shift gears here and talk about a different hockey team and completely disregard what Steven said.
Hey, that's my playbook for the podcast.
Well, that's fair, though. That's fair. If somebody has to come out, right, I don't know, like, Max Domi gets bumped down or something like that. If Nicky Robb joins the Maple Leafs, it's probably in a middle 6 role. I don't imagine they're going to bring him in, throw him right down there on the 4th line. So maybe that's him. But, like, so when I say it's not going to work, that's me saying that, like, I don't know. It almost feels like 3 of the guys that are currently in it haven't given me anything to hold on to their jobs. And that's Cali Yarncroke, that's Max Domi, and that's Fraser Minton. None of those 3 guys right now should be a lock to be in the middle 6 of the Maple Leafs.
I mean, I think saying that, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but Fraser Minton not being a lock, it kind of makes sense. Like, that's where he is as a prospect right now. Unfortunately, I think you're stuck with Yarncroke in that middle 6. And I don't actually think that's the worst thing. I think he's been pretty fine. He looks like kind of a middle 6 player to me when he's out there. I don't think you're putting him out there to be the driver of the line or contribute offense. You're putting him out there to because he can go on any line and he's going to be fine on any line. Like, he's not going to ruin it and he's not going to make it. He's just going to go out there and be. And if you could have a $2 million man go out there with Nylander and Tavares and that line wins their minutes, well, that's better than, you know, putting Bertuzzi on that second line and having to spend a whole lot more money to get a similar result, right? So, like, I think that it's fine. Minton might be gone. Domi, yeah, jury's out. But Robertson, we'll see, Tim. He's a guy.
That would be a crazy line. Mittens, Robertson, and Matthew Nyes.
Stop trying to make Mittens work.
That's
like,
not
Minton
bad.
Mittens doesn't roll off the tongue.
It's not bad.
I just in regards to your maybe that was an overreaction to Nick Robertson's explosive start, Tim, but I think that you keep him down there and you play him like the next 20 games in the HL and let him just like keep playing, keep getting all these points and like way build up his confidence and then bring him in later. Oh, like, there's no reason to bring him
say
in
then
now.
Trade him away.
Well, I wonder though, let him go back to Fraser Minton, right? So, okay, so far Fraser Minton doesn't look like he's working out. But, Ryan, what you said earlier in this podcast about, like, he might be there for necessity still rings true, right? Because the depth behind if Fraser Minton doesn't work out and that's the only change you make right now, well, then who moves up? David Kampf and then Pontus Holmberg's back on the Maple Leafs? Like, I don't know about that. I almost like the idea of just, like, the Leafs are winning enough games, just keep Fraser Minton in there for a while and just...
I mean, here's the thing. We didn't talk about David Kampf at all, but he's like completely underutilized on that fourth line. Like, we're paying the guy $2 million plus to be our fourth line center on a useless fourth line that doesn't even get time in the third period. Like, that fourth line didn't even touch the ice in the third period. So
well,
I would
we needed
say,
goals.
No, but
you
I'm just
put David Kampf out when you need goals. Well, that man doesn't score.
But he didn't play in the other games late either. Or maybe they juggled the lines around. But like, I'm just saying that Reeves sucks. He doesn't get any time when the game matters. So then all of a sudden your whole fourth line gets jumbled. So I don't think it's the worst thing, even though I would say that Kampf being your third line center is probably a below average third line center. It's probably getting the best value out of David Kampf. And then you put Holmberg on that fourth line. You give them like 10 minutes a night and you let Reeves punch a face. And apparently that matters. And then you just go from there. Like, I think that you might get better value from your team doing something like that.
Well, I mean, the other option is, like, if Minton goes down, you have no centerman. So, like, maybe Nylander moves back. Like, you know, that really long, extensive look he got at those three preseason games that inspired lots of podcast discussions and news articles. And
yeah,
threw it all away.
Yeah. All right,
but then
that's
it's
my
like,
first
well, who
one.
Who plays with Tavares?
Who's got one?
I'll do one. You already did one, Sam. Yours was about Nick Robertson.
Nick Robertson, the savior?
Yeah, that's right. All right, mine is that by the end of this season, and by that I mean the regular season, because who knows what the playoffs will be, but by the end of the regular season, the clear-cut number two player on the Toronto Maple Leafs for at least this year will be one William Nylander. We will look at him as being above Mitch Marner in the pecking order of the core four power forwards for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's my overreaction. He's been unbelievable in the first three games. He just dances around there.
I think that's an overreaction. I think that's not going to happen. But
I think
I can tell you.
To
through three games, Mitch Marner looks like he's riding Matthew's coattails, and William Nylander is a line driver.
Tim,
that guy's
what do you think the odds are? Nylander had a career-high 40 goals last season. What do you think the odds are that Nylander hits 45 or 50 right now? Do you say that's
high or low?
He
hits 50 goals? He's getting 11-5.
I think he could. He looks better these first three games than he did last year. And we... You know, I mentioned it before, like, the problem with Nylander and Tavares is that they're so streaky, high-low. If he figures it out and is able to just go for the 82 games, that could be a 50-goal player, and I don't know what the contract means to him, that he's still waiting and we're going to have to pay him $11.5 million, because I think he could do it. He looks so dangerous out there. Now, granted, we've only played, like, you know, Montreal and Chicago, and we just like stomped on Minnesota and scored 7 goals. So it's not like we've played against, like, you know, Vegas or Colorado or Carolina or something yet. And maybe opinions change when we get there. Maybe he just feasts on the weaker competition. But I don't think that it's unreasonable to say that he's going to be the clear-cut number two on this team ahead of Mitch Marner by the end of the season.
Well, so, I mean, man, this summer, Brad Treliving's going to have to, I mean, imminently negotiate a Nylander contract. And then both Marner and Tavares are going to be lined up to sign their extensions.
Yeah.
I would say not an overreaction. He's motivated. I'll say not an overreaction.
So take that, Tim.
Who's right, got another one?
I have a hot take that's going to make Ryan's blood boil.
No, don't
feed
do
us.
It.
Feed us.
Ryan Reeves was a good addition to this team. There's my three-game overreaction. Look, the guy might not get any goals, but he got the belt from Austin Matthews after game two for a reason. And that's because I don't know if it's he inspires them, or if he makes them play differently, or maybe he just, like, keeps them loose. I don't know. I'm not in the dressing room. But something is different about the way the team has played these three games. And I'm not a Ryan Reeves fan by any means. I think that every fight should be, like, kick him out of the game and just, like, be done. I think it's stupid that even hockey has that rule. But all I can say is that Ryan Reeves' addition to this team, they're not looking at him as just a face puncher who shows up. He's a member of the dressing room chemistry, and it's I don't know. I think he's a good addition.
Oh my gosh.
No comment on the contract.
Well, that plays a part of it. I do have one of mine too, is that this Ryan Revo effect is really working. It is hard though to ignore the contract, right? Because you look at everybody else who's in his role, and guys who, like Ryan was saying, like, can actually score goals and stuff like that, right? Are getting paid less and stuff. But so far, it's just been really fun getting to watch it. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. And I would like to see Tim saying, oh, you know, he's not a fan, stuff like that. Leafscast is going to be in the building on Halloween. And if Ryan Reeves drops the gloves, I expect Tim to be sitting in his seat, reading a story, sipping on his tea, not enjoying the festivities. Give me a break, Tim.
The building, it does erupt every time there's a fight. So maybe that's the energy that it brings. All those blue-collar mob that lives in Toronto.
The mob.
Can't get enough of the violence.
He didn't fight tonight, but the first two games that he fought, he didn't pull the guy over to start fighting either. Right? I mean, the first two fights he's had this season have been other guys coming after him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because he laid a big hit, and the other team's like, we don't like that.
And He hasn't been sitting in the box, you know, taking, I guess, a bunch of unnecessary penalties like some other guys. So I don't know. And really, we've even gotten two power plays off of what he's done, right? Because the two have two of the fights.
Didn't
have resulted
in the instigator
in
and the Montreal fight.
Well, I mean, he should. I don't think he did. And he shouldn't have.
No.
Wi-Fi.
The Montreal guy had it. Whatever his name was. X,
oh, the other way.
Whatever.
Not an overreaction.
Hold the phone. This is absolutely an overreaction. I literally have in mind, Reeves is the worst thing to happen to this team. So you could just go away. Listen, you can't just say, like, ignoring the contract. Because of this contract, we traded away Sam Lafferty. That's your, like, he could have been in this middle six conversation. He played some time in the second line with Tavares and Nylander for part of the preseason. Like, he was there, and then we, you know, have Ryan Reeves, we're over the cap, he gets paid like 1.3 until he's like 49 or something, and all of a sudden we can't afford a luxury like Lafferty. We have a fourth line that can't do anything. We had no depth scoring. This whole, like, what depth scoring have we had in any of the three games? The only reason we're winning is because Matthews just, like, put the team on his back and scored. Between Matthews and Nylander, Classic. They have, like, 95% of our goals. Like, it's, I don't know, Tim. I don't know. It's just useless to me. I don't see it. I don't see him contribute anything. The team is happy. The team was happy when Joe Thornton was on our team. He ended up sucking. The team was happy when Simmons was on our team. What a great locker room guy. Old 2 years, you called him. Jason Spezza was the only one because he died before he became a villain. That's what Jason Spezza did. And Ryan Reeves is already a villain to me. It's just nothing there. So I'm nowhere near where you are, Tim. Definitely an overreaction. It's not even over. It's just an incorrect reaction.
He's had a negative impact. If the Leafs win tonight, do you feel differently? If the Leafs win and the boys are buzzing and Revo fights somebody, and
I hate every fight and every hit. I hate everything about him, Steven.
Well, I expect you to also be sitting next to Tim on Halloween as Revo's dropping the gloves with whoever the big guy is on the Kings. That's it. Okay. I got another one. This one's kind of a weird one, but it's something that I can't stop looking at. I think I was critical of Sheldon Keefe last summer. He gets the contract extension. Dubas is gone. We've been over all of this, right? And the Leafs have come out and I think looked pretty good, but I'm a little worried about what Sheldon Keefe might have been up to this summer. I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen the tan that this man is rocking coming into the season this year, but it looks like he spent every single day laying out on the dock at his cottage and not scheming up ways to make Ryan Reeves score goals. I can't get over the tan. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
Not an overreaction at all. I was thinking the same thing. I didn't think at all about the game. I'm just thinking about where he was on the beat. No, are you kidding me? Like, although I must say, like, we have been fine, and I don't really care right now that Sheldon Keefe is back. Although it was a little annoying in the offseason. They give the guy an extension when, like, we wondered whether he should even have a job. But he's been fine. They've been fine. We'll see 20 games from now.
I'm going to say, if I'm Sheldon Keefe, I am 100% taking the summer off because the writing is on the walls. Like, doesn't matter what I do. I'm either coming back for sure or taking off. But I guess he's back and he got to enjoy his summer.
I like his deployment of Klingberg. Like, I think that it was pretty gutsy taking Morgan Rielly off the power play one. We had the second best power play in the league last year, and he says, you know, let's come in and change something. Or maybe that was the assistant coaches, but everything eventually runs through him. So that was pretty gutsy, and I liked the idea of trying Nylander at center. He didn't stick with it, which kind of annoyed me, but even going with Minton to start the season I think is like kind of fun and pretty cool. So I think he's done a fine job through the first few games here. I would say that, like, it's pretty on brand Sheldon Keefe so far. He hasn't changed or done anything dramatic that was unexpected. I say the Leafs in general are pretty on brand so far, so we'll see where it takes us as the season goes on.
All right, is it an overreaction to say that the other 31 general manager in the league were actually just trolling Kyle Dubas all those years, taking our players off waivers? Not only did we get Martin Jones through, we got Bobby McMahon through as well. Like, the other teams 100% were just messing with Dubas, stealing 100% of our players.
It'd be hilarious to watch Pittsburgh lose all their players on waivers.
I agree. I mean, so far you can see the differences around how the Leafs are treated, I guess, with Dubas not in the building. No, not an overreaction whatsoever. And it's nice. I don't lose as much sleep. It's so funny. We were all 100% certain. Like, when somebody's name comes up on the waiver, it's like, shoot, man, we're losing that guy. Right?
That's what it was. We've never been, like, so angry at losing these guys that aren't even NHLers. But guys then we get these injuries.
Guys got claimed, too, this year, right? Like, some guys got claimed off of waivers. So, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody got a last one?
Who haven't we talked about yet?
Well, okay, I got one. Unless somebody's got a really good one.
I have one, but you go ahead.
So the Maple Leafs have a goaltending problem. So we go into the preseason, not a good showing from either goaltender. We're now three games into the season, not a good showing from either goaltender. And I know, you know, Tim's saying that, like, we don't have a lot of money allocated towards the position. Sure, we do have a lot of importance allocated towards the position. We're not winning a Stanley Cup if we're getting goaltending like this. And yeah, I just worry. Like, I just worry about it.
The problem is just, like, you're so stuck. Like, what do? You have, like, no one coming from the hills to come save you. Like, Keith... Petrozelli.
Pizza party
isn't ready for, like, the full-time gig. Who is there? Our one, we had the one goalie in the KHL now who's, like, doing okay, but, like, I don't think the solution's internal.
Really, what the solution is to shore up the rest of the team around him right? Like, the, I mean, not, I think that probably when we get to trade deadline, the acquisition we're going to make is probably going to be for a defenseman, I think. But even just the forwards, like, you can support him better than we are. You said it earlier in this pod, Steven, how many odd man rushes and people are getting behind our guys. Like, that doesn't make the job easy on the goaltender at all. And how many penalties are we taking? Give me a break. You can only save so many when you're short 5-on-4. So I think, I mean, it's not wrong. And maybe it's a little bit of an overreaction that, like, I don't think we need to make a trade right now or something. Like, I don't think we're doomed. I think that time will tell to see how we do. But you're probably safe to say that it won't necessarily be a strength, or, like, the reason that we win is because of the goaltending. Like, we'll see. Samsonov was really good last year, especially at home. Like, he had an unbelievable home record last year. And Wall looked great, too. So it's still early.
Still early.
All right. Fair. Well, that's it. That's it. I mean, that's week one. That's regular season podcast one done.
We didn't cover the wagon, but I think it's pretty unanimous. Austin Matthews is the wagon this week.
He gets to spread out and enjoy a few seats.
Yeah, we're going to rename it after him. I mean, you score almost every single goal the Maple Leafs have scored this year. More than Connor Bedard. What a bust. All right, so boys are back. It's kind of nice, too, not having a totally cramped beginning of the season. I remember last year we had a back-to-back, I think, nights one and two of the season. So we've got a little bit of a break. Leafs are back in action on Thursday at the Panthers, then Saturday at the Tampa Bay Lightning. I have not tracked one bit how either of those teams are really doing, but
not
anything's
good.
A test.
And I would not, be okay if Ryan Reeves punched some faces in those two games. That would, you know, I wouldn't be too upset. Who is
all
it
right,
that
Ryan.
Suplexed Matthew Nyes? I forget who that is, but Reeves can take him on, I guess.
How about you pick a side, Ryan? Pick
Listen, a side.
I'd like both of you to pick a side.
I wish we could just hire Ryan Reeves to be like a parking lot enforcer. Like, just find these guys after the game and do the face punching. Why do we got to ice the guy?
Ryan on Ryan crime is what's going on here on the podcast. That's it. I'm wrapping it up. Too much of you guys. I have to ease into the season of my time with you two.
Fair enough.
Exhausting.
Who knows? Tune in next week and we'll see if the Leafs have changed the goal song yet again, and we'll have to change our podcast audio.
Pick a side, everybody. Good night. Done.